This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Taking the Donald Trump pledge of business abstinence, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The president-elect of the United States has promised in 140 characters or less not to do private business deals while in office. It's an effort to allay concerns of potential conflicts of interest for a president with a complex and far-flung personal business. Parts of this pledge may be harder to live up to compared to others. Let's go through this with Marketplace contributor Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, David.
So let's take this tweet and spin it out into this complex real world of a real estate business. No new deals pledge. Could Donald Trump sell no buildings during his time in office?
You know, that's probably the easy one. If he has a little bit of self-control, he'll keep his buildings, and he probably likes his buildings.
How about buying no buildings?
Oh, that's tough. Real estate people love to buy new things.
All right, so he'll have to resist if this is what he's going to do. What about refi? I mean, that's a big deal in the real estate business, getting cheaper money to own these things.
Oh, that's a temptation that's hard to resist because you refinance your building, you put a bunch of cash in your pocket, and you don't pay any taxes on the cash.
No new deals with new tenants?
Well, how are you going to do that? A tenant moves out and you have empty space. You've got to sign a new deal with a new tenant.
All right. And renew leases. What about that?
Well, you know, you got to keep the building full. You got to keep the rent coming in. How are you going to not renew a lease? Are you going to throw the tenant out?
All right, but no new deals is the pledge. Now, what about, I mean, Mr. Trump makes a lot of money, presumably, on licensing his brand. No new deals, I guess, would include that, if he could.
Well, I don't even think I could resist that one. When you license, you make money without putting any of your money on the table. Who wants to stop doing that?
All right, so you just said it's going to be hard to resist. But maybe, Eric, you're telling me this earlier, it might be easy for Donald Trump to do no new deals with his businesses during his term or terms in office. How do you come to that conclusion?
Well, you know, presidents lead a different life than you and I. There's the presidential definition privilege. I mean, he's a Republican president. He's going to have a Republican Congress. And presidents define things their way. I did not have sex, where sex means what I say it means. No new deals, where deals mean what I say they mean.
All right, hearkening back to the Clinton administration, Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you.
Always my pleasure, David.
Mr. Trump has delayed releasing details of how he plans to deal with his businesses until next month. This morning, America's central bankers started their meetings to decide if the U.S. economy is strong enough for higher interest rates, with the decision due tomorrow. David Kelly is chief global strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds. Dr. Kelly, thanks for helping us with this.
Good morning.
So there'll be a statement on the second day of the meeting. You'll be paying, I think, close attention to that.
Yes, I will. And I think what we'll probably see is a slightly more optimistic tone from the Federal Reserve. They will really say they've met their targets. We've got strengthening growth. We've got a tightening labor market with an unemployment rate of 4.6%. And with this recent OPEC deal, we do have oil prices moving up, and that suggests inflation is moving towards 2%.
And it goes without saying that we will have in America higher interest rates tomorrow?
It does. I think we're going to get a rate hike. But I think the one thing to bear in mind is, you know, we may get a lot more next year if fiscal policy is very expansionary. But what I think Janet Yellen is going to do is she's not going to say very much at all about fiscal policy until she sees. And I think that's good. What we want to see here is, you know, the Fed shouldn't talk too much about the incoming administration. The incoming administration shouldn't talk too much about the Fed. If we do that, I think that's good for financial markets.
David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you for this.
Anytime.
Shareholders for firearms manufacturer Smith & Wesson are voting on whether to change the name from Smith & Wesson to something less lethal and more outdoorsy. American Outdoor Brands is the proposal. That change would come as the company looks to expand into new products such as camping or hunting gear. The firearms unit will still be called Smith & Wesson. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
The name Smith & Wesson conjures images of shootouts on the American frontier and tough guys like Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry. But the company might be trying to downplay its association with guns and violence, thanks to its expansion into the outdoor and camping market. Randy Sparks, a marketing professor at the University of Dayton, says potential customers might balk at seeing the company's name on, say, a sleeping bag.
The brand may actually sell better if it doesn't have the Smith & Wesson name associated with it.
The company's stock has fallen recently. Jonah Berger, who teaches marketing at the University of Pennsylvania, says the name change could help with that.
You see many students fighting back against universities and saying we need to get out of investments that are in oil or in firearms.
But it could take time and marketing for the new brand to catch on. In New York, I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
New academic study. Keep an eye on investment fund managers who drive really cool cars. Professors in Florida and Singapore cross-reference the financial performance of fund managers with vehicle purchase info. The folks who own powerful sports cars took on more risk that didn't necessarily produce higher returns compared to fund managers with normal cars. So if your person drives a 2006 minivan or something, the performance will be less volatile. Is he or she tooling around in a Ferrari 488 GTB or maybe one of those fabulous Ford GTs? Well, the study found the fast car crowd also reported to authorities more regulatory and criminal violations. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.